This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Producer Mike joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a bit of a confession to make that's going to require both of you to just be, I guess, if we're going to use an analogy, if there are Rottweilers on leashes and I like throw down a steak, my only request would be, could we maybe just not lunge at the steak because I'm about to throw
straight
down a steak.
Away, or can we maybe go to the steak eventually?
You can go to the steak eventually, but I just like a general saunter towards the steak. I know it's against your nature. I know it's against everything you're going to want to do, but can we please just have a general bit of decorum around the steak that I'm about to throw down?
I love analogies. That one was very confusing, but I kind of get what you mean. Just let you finish before we get into
that's
it.
Okay, that's exactly good. What I meant. Okay. Yes. We have instituted a thing on this show called Present Day, which is the cure for the present day. So news, events, just everything about winter at the moment. The present day is pretty damn depressing. But present day fixes that. And present day is a day where literally, as it sounds, we give each other presents.
It's very, very simple. Yeah. Just the present day for the present day.
Today is present day.
Yes, it's every Thursday.
We talked about yesterday on the show, there'd not been a lot of fanfare about this week's present day. We hadn't been talking about whether we're even going to do it again this week. And we did confirm yesterday on the show. In fact, producer Mike, you confirmed that you'd already done some shopping for present day.
I did it the previous day.
Yeah, yeah.
So, wow. So you've done it on a Tuesday for a Thursday.
I've been ready for 48 hours.
You're excited. The present day has worked the exact way it's meant to work with Michael. And with Michael alone, because I went and did mine yesterday. But Michael, you're actually genuinely are looking forward to present day.
I'm very excited for
this. This is exactly what I was meant to do.
And I treat it as a challenge.
Exactly. I love it.
I forgot it was present day.
This is your, it is.
Yeah, this is your idea.
Let me be very clear. This is the Rottweiler part that I was trying to just come here. I remembered yesterday at about 10 p.m.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, I weighed up my options. I had a glasshouse candle in the house that I hadn't opened yet.
Mm.
And I thought that would be nice for Ned because he likes glasses.
I would have liked that. Would have been lovely.
Violates the rules of price.
Would have been way over
way too expensive. Also, it is literally just something I cobbled together. I also have an in-the-box LED like light-changing lamp that I could give to Michael as a bit of the zhuzhing of his apartment type thing. I know it could go like on your shelf where you've got a lot of your display items. You would have loved that.
Once again,
disingenuous. It's not it's not something I bought for you.
Because I think my apartment's fine as it is.
I thought driving past a service station on the way to work this morning and trying to find something that didn't look like it come from a servo, but
it's
once again,
the rules.
That's against the rules.
Yeah, that actually is against the rules.
And now I'm about to let the leash off the Rottweilers. I've come to you hat in hand saying, I've at least done the most honest thing, which is which is saying that I completely and totally forgot.
It is a little...
I'm done.
It's a little upsetting. I don't know if it hit you the same way, Michael. It's a little upsetting to know that there are presents that could have been given to us, but mine was too expensive and yours was just kind of... I actually don't know what yours was other than it would have just been re-gifting, which I don't think we ever established there was a zero re-gift policy.
There was just a price range.
Makes me a little upset because last week I farted out my presents. I was happy with it, but I got Josh like a remote control organizer and I got Michael like a cool scarf. This week I actually like went above and beyond. I'm stoked on both of the presents that I got this week.
I had to wrap mine.
You wrapped yours.
I had to wrap Ned's because they were too big to fit in the gift bag.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I'm really upset.
Okay, so what I'm proposing, because this has already been going for 4 minutes, is we come back after news and sport. Mm. You guys have a bit of time to deliberate and decide what the punishment is. This is unorthodox. This is unusual.
Well, it's the second week, so everything's unorthodox.
What I'm about to propose is unusual. As a defendant, I'm proposing my own sentencing. I would suggest we do it tomorrow, and I have to add $5 to the value, so you both get a more expensive present. But I'll leave it up to you. We'll come back after news and sport, and straight after that, you tell me what you've decided. I can leave the room if you want. Should be my punishment for forgetting present day.
All right. Sounds good. We can have a chat.
You have a chat off air?
Yeah.
The jury will go and deliberate. Yeah. And you, as like you predicted, will not be a part of the jury.
No, I'd like to say.
Come off the stand and then go up onto the stalls and just go, yeah, I think he's innocent.
Add an extra $5 to the price and I'll go and get them today. That's my option. Yeah. You guys come up with your own next. I forgot present day today, which if you're brand new to the show is the day where to cure what ails us on the present day, we have present day. We give each other presents. We're trying to get the concept off the ground. You can do it in your own office. I recommend a group of 3 to 4 people is obviously best. $15 limit on the presents.
Well, if you're a friendship group that of the high wealthy, you can put it wherever you want, I suppose. You
probably set your own limit for the money there.
Yes.
I forgot present day today. That's the big announcement.
And it's disappointing because you have been the strongest. You've been the champion. It was your idea for present day.
It was my idea, yeah.
It was funny because you obviously announced to Michael and myself that you had forgotten present day.
I did, just before news and sport. I've forgotten present day.
Michael and I both had the thought yesterday of like, Josh will forget this. But I think, did you have the same thought, Michael, where of like, this is his idea. So he's the one that, if I've gone out of my way to remember an idea that's not even mine, that we talked about that day, Josh can do the same.
Yeah.
We had a bit on yesterday and I was concerned. I was more so concerned that Ned would forget.
Yeah.
Because I was confident at the time that it was Josh's idea.
It's Josh's idea.
Remember it.
Josh is who should have forgotten.
In sentencing, can we maybe just say that, like, that's a good thing? That you thought that there was no way I could forget? Like, this is so unlike me.
That's right.
It's just so unlike me.
This is such a horrendous crime. We couldn't have even envisioned it happening.
I've forgotten present day. I've left it up to you to decide what should happen to me, what should be the punishment. I suggested we do it tomorrow and I add $5 to the price.
Yes.
Yeah, you suggested that.
That was my suggestion, but obviously it's up to you.
And we have taken that on board.
Yes. Thank you. We've taken that idea and run with it somewhat.
Yeah, a little bit. In that it won't be $5.
No, we are going to still...
We're doing it tomorrow because, unfortunately for you, I'm actually stoked on the presents I bought this week and I really want to give Michael his presents.
Okay. All right.
So you will be buying us both presents today that are double the price.
Yes.
So $30 double. Each. Yeah, $30 each. And $30 is the minimum, by the way.
Yeah.
If you want to go over that, that's fine. That's your own prerogative. But yeah, that's $30 each.
So, and from now on, I think we should all establish the rule that if you forget present day, then your next present is doubled.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's like a repeat offender. I think if Josh screws this up again,
it's like
$60 and then it's 120. Yeah. Because this
was... So you keep a running tally of how many times someone's forgotten present day.
Yeah, correct. Honestly, if it was a perfect world and if I got my way, it would be forever. It was from now on, you buy us $30 gifts.
Did you talk him down off the ledge there, Michael?
Look, I think we had to be reasonable.
Thank you so much.
It was week 2.
Thank you so much.
It's dangerous to do this week 2.
I got a call from the gas company. Credit to Papin yesterday, so thank you very much for talking him off the ledge there.
Yeah.
All right. I will come tomorrow with $30 present for Michael, $30 present for Ned.
Excellent.
Tomorrow will be a temporary redesignation of Friday as present day.
Very good.
Which eliminates the point because Friday's already a good day. You don't have to look forward to Friday.
It should be Wednesday, not Friday. But
right,
you know what?
Fine.
Tomorrow's the best of awesome, a very bad situation. Tomorrow's going to be sick.
I will accept my punishment.
Josh, back in the early noughties, when you would go and watch a movie or if you would watch a DVD, there would be an ad pretty much before every single one of them. Was essentially, well, it sounded like this. And it was to try and to get people to stop pirating movies.
Yeah.
They were essentially like, hey, you wouldn't steal a purse or a TV, so why would you steal a movie?
For the love of God, please stop downloading movies.
Exactly right. Now, if you remember these ads, they were very intense. Obviously, the music leads you to believe that. But turns out studies have been done that's shown that not only did these ads not work in stopping piracy, but they actually encouraged more piracy to happen.
I have a theory on why that is before you tell me the research reason, and it's quite simply this part of the music. Just so incredibly slapping. This song was way too cool for the ad that it was meant to be a part of. It made downloading seem way too cool.
Look, there's not a part of this that says that it was too cool. I agree. It's a cool song, but no. It wasn't that it was too cool. Essentially, what happened was they equated, it was like two things. A, they made it seem, they essentially brought piracy to the eyes of thousands, if not millions, of people who never would have done it anyway.
Yeah.
Then essentially went like, hey, this thing that there's a crime, Here are four examples of crimes.
Yep.
One of them is stealing a purse. One of them stealing, I don't know, like a DVD from a...
It was a TV, like, a DVD, well, yeah, and a car. Right.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. So it was like two of them are actually like not bad. They're like DVDs and a purse.
Yeah.
That's kind of similar to pirating a movie. The other two, like you said, were breaking in, stealing someone's TV, mm-hmm. and then stealing someone's car, mm-hmm. which essentially made all of it inadequate, because then people were going, well, stealing a DVD is not the same as stealing someone's car.
Yeah.
So this piracy must be somewhere in the middle. Starting a conversation, people go, oh, yeah, I pirate stuff all the time. People go, oh, can I do it? And they're going, yeah, it's pretty easy, actually.
The biggest misconception, I think the thing that probably people were starting to go, oh, my God, like... What if they didn't know what this piracy thing was? Yeah. This ad introduced it to them with a cool soundtrack. I just watched this to get the sound to play.
Mm.
The biggest misconception from someone who used to maybe dabble in this in the mid-noughties as a teenager, the website is way too easy to use.
Yeah.
There was no website to download movies that was as easy as the website the girl's using in the ad.
Also, to stop the download also looks like she's stopping some kind of nuclear attack as well. When you stop a torrent, again, not that I would know, you essentially just click a small little X button. It's like getting out of an ad.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough. In this one, she's just like, it's like there should be some kind of minute countdown, and she's stressing and her parents are screaming at her because someone
Shut down the mainframe.
There is a threat from space that only you can stop.
I think the hilarity with this too is, I think when she gets up from the computer, she's got a handbag, if I'm not mistaken. She grabs a handbag and takes. Where'd she get that handbag from?
Yeah. She said it was a book bag because she was on her way to school to learn more crimes, I guess.
More crimes.
Josh, when you work in hospitality/retail or whatever, little things that you don't really notice at first when you first start working there can quickly become the things that drive you insane.
Yes.
Just like small, tedious, monotonous things that you have to do over and over and over and over again, that when you work there for like 4 months, and by the end of it, you're just like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I was going to have to do this 50 single times every hour or whatever. This has happened for a girl who works at Nando's.
Mm.
She has said that there's a question that she has to ask a million times a day, and she is being driven mad by it.
Slowly insane.
Because it's a question that doesn't need to be asked. She's like, people could just come to the table and then just... Essentially, if they said one word, I wouldn't have to ask this question at all.
Okay.
She works at Nando's. She's sick of asking how spicy you would like your chicken. So they have that little scale, if you've ever been to Nando's, that's like the little chili scale, and you can go anywhere from lemon herbs to extreme heat or whatever.
Yes.
She's sick of asking people because you can essentially just go up and go, hey, I'll have like a peri-peri chicken wrap and I'll just have it on mild, thanks.
Can I say that I've don't... What inconvenience, apart from having to ask every single person, is this causing? Is it an embarrassing thing?
No.
Do people sort of about what they want to do?
No. I think people most... This is just a waste of time.
Hates doing this as part of her job.
It's just a waste of time. Other than because like, the only other thing that you would be forced to do probably is to say hello to the person.
Yeah.
And that's just being nice to another human being.
Yeah.
So that's kind of easy to do. But like, everything else is probably like, hey, how are you going? And then what do you want?
Yeah.
Just getting rid of, I guess, 3 seconds, but you worked at a couple of like hospitality resale places. Was there nothing like this for you?
Well, there was a lot of things like this. Like you had to say hello in a specific way every single time. When I worked at Hungry Jack's, you used to have to ask if people wanted to... This is before Supersize Me, but you used to have to ask if people wanted to upsize and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the phrasing I would use is it's your job.
Mm.
Like, this is a really strange complaint. Like,
no, I know.
This is something you just do as part of your job.
Exactly right. But also, I worked at Gloria Jean's where we served banana bread, and you would always get the choice of having it toasted or not toasted.
Right.
It's just, and it's on the sign in the front. It says, when you order it, it says, can come toasted or untoasted. Mm-hmm. Every single time I'd someone go like, can I have some banana bread, a latte, and I'll also get a flat white as well. And then I'd have to go, before I can enter any of the other stuff, I've got to go, do you want it toasted or do you want it fresh? And they're like, ooh, that's a good question.
Have you not thought about this?
I'm so sorry that I've completely stumped you with the hardest question known to man of, would you like banana bread toasted? The answer, by the way, is always yes.
You like a bit of toasted banana.
Yeah.
It turns it from being like a cake into being toast.
Yeah, but that's kind of what you want.
Yeah. Well, not what I want.
Yeah, that's
I
it.
Want a little cake.
I look for more bread in my banana bread.
I look for more cake
in my banana bread. A different stroke for different folks. But I understand completely this girl. And like I said, it's going to sound very, very petty if you've never had to work in a job like this. Mm. but my God, it used to drive me insane.
All right, well, if it's driving everybody insane who works in retail, they have to ask like a question every single time.
Yeah, just
can I just ask, take it off the plate right now. If you work at Cotton On, I don't want to sign up for the rewards program. Done, done.
I don't like that either.
Don't even remotely think of asking me.
Josh, there's a guy named Martin who is somewhat of an inventor, and he's invented something that he thinks is going to improve the life of cat owners.
Okay.
While also detrimentally affecting the life of cats.
This is rough because the cats have to be in their bodies the whole time. You only have to see your cat sometimes.
Exactly right. And being inconvenienced by an annoying thing that a cat does, yes, while annoying, it's not, you aren't the thing. There's a bunch of stuff that cats do. I think cats are far more annoying than dogs in terms of like little things that they do, like coughing up a furball, that's annoying. Scratching it like a couch, that's super annoying.
Very annoying.
A rug, meowing in the middle of the night. Most dogs are kind of like chill, so they'll just like, once they're in a house, they're like, all right, I might poo in here or I might wee somewhere, but that's also, I didn't want to do that. I just had to kind of do that. The thing that Martin has decided to fix with cats is that he's sick of his cat bringing in like dead mice or not so dead mice or birds or whatever. Just essentially like small prey that the cat's found.
Yeah.
Bringing it through a cat flap. He's created this cat flap that essentially, it's got an AI technology in it that scans the cat, and if it can tell that it's got something in its mouth, like prey or whatever, it won't open the cat flap.
Aww.
So the cat will have to drop whatever it is, and then it can come in the house.
It's better for the just general germ factor inside your house.
Yeah,
you're not going to accidentally have a mouse brought out from the backyard.
Exactly right. And
dead bird.
I've, because we've always had cats. We've had way more cats than we've had dogs. The way that the mice sometimes is like, this is how I'll get out of this. It's like, I'll just pretend to be dead, and that's, the cat will eventually get bored, leave me, and then I'll just go about my mouse life. Mm-hmm. Except a lot of the times the mouse was like, well, now I'm inside. This is not what I was counting on. No. And now I'm freaking out because now there's a bunch of people that are way taller than the cat that are walking around that are also freaked out about me. There is a reason cats do this.
What is the reason?
Despite the fact that what it may seem, cats don't just do stuff to piss off human beings. This actually is like a survival instinct. They do it from like when they're in the wild, when they're actually, before we domesticated them and made them our house cats, they would like hunt stuff. And then when they would hunt stuff, they're like, oh, well, I'm a part of a bigger community. Let me take my food to my family and then we can all share this food.
Okay.
So they're bringing you food to try because they're like, oh, this is my family. I need to provide. I need to pull my weight. Otherwise, I'm going to get dropped from the crew. This is mean, I feel like.
Yeah, this is mean to stop them from contributing to the family.
This is what I mean. He's just trying to help.
Is it they feel like they're a part of it because we provide them food.
Yeah.
So they obviously go, right, well, I better carry my weight here. I better provide some food. I will say bringing in a dead bird or a mouse into the family is kind of like a little boy trying to get a PlayStation for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
It's like, this present's really more for you, isn't it?
When have you ever seen us sit down and eat a small little pigeon?
Mr. Tim, when have you ever seen me consume a rat?
Yeah. Look at this mouse.
That's never happened.
Josh, Idris Elba, very, very famous. He was in Suicide Squad. He was in The Wire. He's Luther. Very famous dude. I just listed a bunch of acting roles that he's got. He's also a very, very talented musician and DJ. He's rapped on a few songs. He DJs quite a bit around England and stuff.
He challenges people to dance-offs in Macklemore songs.
He very much does.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure he plays that song. How could you not? It's like if you had a cool line like that where it's like, I challenge you to a dance-off. And you know they play that every single set as a DJ?
I'd say that have as my ringtone.
That's exactly right. It just sounds cool. But he went on Jimmy Fallon, who decided to quiz him a little bit about his DJ knowledge. Obviously, you've got to move with the tempo of the crowd or whatever. Threw some scenarios his way and just was like, let me know what you think a good song for this moment would be. He gave him one for like being dumped. He was like, if you were dumped, what would you play if after someone had just been dumped? And he went Return of the Mac, which I think is kind of cool, which isn't a sad song at all.
Return to being single.
Well, that's what he said. He was like, nah, he's like, oh, well, it's a new day, whatever.
I guess that one applies to Idris Elba.
Yeah,
if you're dumped as Idris Elba, the world's your oyster.
He also did one that was like, pump yourself up for a job interview, which he did. Izzo. Jay-Z song, H to the Izzo. That's a very, very, very good.
That's a good pump-up song.
I would like to do it with you because you've been a DJ every now and again, so you have had to do this, I'm guessing.
I think if my friend Oscar's listening to this, I need to clear up for the record. I press play on songs at a pub.
Right.
But I will say the part that I do have is that I used to have to pick the songs.
There you go.
So they weren't mixed together well.
Exactly.
But I did have to pick the vibe.
So you at least had to pick. You were involved in the
yes,
DJ scene.
Yes, 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 yes.
I'm going to give you some scenarios. I'm going to stick to strictly in the club scenarios. Jimmy Fallon kind of went for just like everyday scenarios. I'm going to try and like set the vibe of a nightclub, and I would like to see what song you put on if you saw, if you're up in the DJ booth, you looked down on the crowd and then you saw this happening, all right?
Okay, all right.
Give you three examples.
Mm-hmm.
The first example, you see a couple and they're arguing in the corner.
Mm.
You've seen them walk in, they're like, we're having some fun, and now maybe they're off in a corner and they're arguing.
Okay, so idea for
so
me.
So you see this and you're like, you know what, I'm going to fix their night.
I got two songs. Potentially to just, because the idea would be to distract from whatever conversation they're having by a song that would sweep everyone away.
Yeah,
you
okay.
couldn't possibly keep arguing.
That's your angle.
That's my angle. I would go for.
Okay.
I think it's impossible to have an argument while the Macarena's going.
That's not bad.
But if it's impossible to have an argument while the Macarena's going, it's definitely impossible to have an argument while Barbie Girl's going. So they're my two choices.
I feel like the Macarena was good, but you lost it with Barbie. I feel like that would.
The Macarena?
Yeah, sorry. The Macarena was good, but I feel like if I was in an argument and I heard Barbie, I think it would almost piss me off, and I'd be like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. All
right.
So you were good. You had it. What about there's been some malfunction in some of the sprinkler systems that are for the watering system, and they've accidentally gone off, but no one seems to care.
You wanted to have a bit of a laugh there, and you're also wanting people to continue dancing.
Exactly.
So I would go for...
It's raining men.
Good. Yeah, that's very good, actually.
Yeah.
People love this song in a club, and it also appropriate.
Yeah, right. Yeah, appropriate.
You've nailed appropriate. It with that one.
Yeah, thank you very much. Right. Thank you.
So I would say, to make this interesting at all, we'll say you're one all. You've got one good, one bad.
Right.
This is the deciding one.
Mm-hmm.
A hen's night have just walked in, and they are rowdy.
That's brutal. So you said they're rowdy. So they've already gone to a couple of other. They've already gone to a couple other venues. This isn't the first venue.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a song for if it was the first venue.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it?
Okay. So this is
this is not my suggestion. This is if it was the first venue.
It's 7 p.m.
But if we're turning the volume up, I've got a different song. All right. So this is 7 p.m.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's 7 p.m. But I would say
now this is 1:30.
We're turning the volume up.
Yeah, but look, I feel like
they're basically the same song.
Yeah.
One is just for a little bit later at night. A little bit more likely.
One's a little rowdier.
There's a little bit more likely to be dance moves to man, I feel like, a woman. But right now, very, very, very divisive question I have for... Actually, you know what, Michael? Come on, you can be a part of this too, because I think we need as many opinions as we can get in this room to start with.
Mm.
Very divisive opinions. You guys already know what this question is. Very strong responses from you already today.
Mm.
Carrie, my girlfriend, her 8-year-old is having his birthday this weekend. He is turning into a 9-year-old. That's how the progression of time works.
Yes.
At least that's how it's been explained to me.
That's
he will
actually,
no longer be 8, he will be 9.
That's very important information for a reason I will tell you later.
Yep. Okay. So he has a little brother who is 6, will be remaining 6 through this weekend. His birthday is not until like early next year.
Yeah.
So he's got a bit to go before he's 7. Mm-hmm. He will be 6 all the way through this party. 6 is an important age to remember. The question I had for Carrie yesterday, because I've just bought the present for the birthday boy this weekend.
Yeah. Well, so you're not completely forgetting everyone's presents then. Just the
what's
people
amazing
who
that I actually
so little to you.
I bought presents yesterday.
Yeah.
just worked for present day, which is absolutely incredible.
Very nice.
Anything about it?
Yeah.
So I called Carrie and I basically said, are we doing a trinket, like a tokenistic present for the 6-year-old? By the way, I'm only not using their names because it's the radio. I call them by their names when I talk to Carrie.
I refer to them as the 8-year-old and the 6-year-old to Carrie.
No, I said, are we buying a tokenistic trinket present for the 6-year-old?
To placate him a little bit.
So that he doesn't feel left out on his older brother's birthday.
Yeah.
And she said, basically, I don't know.
Yeah.
She went, I don't want to set that as a precedent.
No.
But I also don't want to be dealing with him having a bit of a moment. So basically what I took from that was get one, we won't give it to him.
Yeah,
but and it can just be case. Like a just because present, maybe in a couple of weeks or something.
Yeah.
But right now, it'll be there as a break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah,
because there is validity to the argument of teaching him that, like, not every day is about him.
That's what this I was going to say.
This is his older brother's birthday.
Yeah.
We're celebrating his older brother.
Yeah,
let's just enjoy that moment. But
I can also understand trying to keep the peace. But yeah. I would be on the side of what you just said. Of
so what are we thinking in this room?
Hell no.
There we go.
A visceral.
You have a sister?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, an older sister.
And how did this work for you? Because you were the younger in this scenario.
Yeah. I didn't get... When it was my sister's birthday.
Exactly.
I got the benefits of having a sibling having a birthday, which means cake, a party, whether it was like a bowling or some kind of activity. That's the benefit.
You get to go to an event. Yeah,
exactly.
Because
I imagine that the six-year-old is going to a party.
We're not trying to not let him go to his brother's party.
Yeah. 12 hours,
basically.
Mate.
We're going to ignore you for the whole day. That's how this is going to work. Yeah.
No, he's getting his own...
And he's getting to invite some of his friends to the party.
Oh, then he's more than catered to it.
Yeah, he's more than catered to that. Okay.
I had twin sisters, so they did get a party. They both got gifts on the exact same day.
Yeah, you had
but
two
But I
gifts.
Certainly never did.
You never did.
And I honestly, it sucked for me because my birthday's 2 days before Christmas. So essentially everyone got presents on my birthday.
I got given my sister's fourth birthday and I was six. Yeah. I got given a present from my nana.
Wow.
I remember what it was. It was like a little train set.
Yeah.
And I think I remember what that was because even at six, I was like...
This is crazy.
I'm really difficult, aren't I?
Yeah,
the fact that Nana knew she had to come with a present for me too on my sister's birthday obviously means I'm a pain. I think I remember that memory because I was aware that I was causing a scene.
Yeah, right, okay.
So maybe the lesson here is don't do this.
It's what you said in the beginning. It's like a day can sometimes be about someone who's not you, and that's okay.
But being six, you really don't want to get high concepts like that. You want to just go, no. Yeah.
You're not thinking through your emotions.
This is about me.
Yeah. The reason I say it was important to find out what year he was turning, I also went and bought him a present yesterday.
Bought the six-year-old a present?
No. I went and bought the eight-year-old a present.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what birthday was turning, and I was in one of Canberra's many lead-lined supermarkets where you can't send a text message out. So I couldn't send you a message asking how old he was, so I just bought a happy birthday you're turning 8 and a happy birthday you're turning 9 card and wrote both of them.
I bought him a hip flask. I didn't know whether it was 18 or 9.
I bought him one for 25.
13, 10, 60. I don't think we're going to get anybody for this, but are you a parent out there that buys a present for the other kid on your kid's birthday?
Yeah.
I want to hear what your logic is, and maybe we go down the path of investigating this as a potential option.
Yeah.
13, 10, 60, do you have strong feelings about this one way or the other? I'll hear your opinion and make my decision because there's still time. There's still time to get the six-year-old a present.
It doesn't sound like there's any clear, decisive answer yet, so it's still up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty decisive from everyone in this room.
This, I reckon the kid's calling now. The six-year-old's going,
get me a present! Vicky's on the line from Hackett. How are you, Vicky?
Good morning, guys. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
That's good to
hear. Doing great, Vicky.
What's your philosophy? What do you think?
So when I fell pregnant with my eldest, I got told I couldn't have any more kids. So my eldest got absolutely everything and I was like, okay, cool, you know, one child, everything's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 8 years later, I fell pregnant with her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister's first birthday, I felt a bit guilty. And I was like, oh, we've been giving it to her all for 8 years. Giving it to her. So, yes, I did. I'm one of those mums.
So you continued the 8 years of tradition and went, well, you're getting another present as well. You know what? I think that
17 and 9 and I still do it.
Oh! See, I was going to say, I understand for a one-year-old's birthday party because it's essentially like, well, this child is not appreciating any of the toys and the other one's going, why the hell is it getting all these toys?
Yes.
But I don't understand it. What did you say now?
Little stuff.
Little things.
Like something little. Just something little to say, you know, just an appreciation. That, you know, you're being good for your sister's birthday today.
Oh, this is like a thank you for behaving. Yeah, hold the present over until...
You're losing your crap.
Yes.
Will it all go away the second that a child doesn't seem grateful for the present, Vicky? Will that be the time that it's like...
I'll take everything away.
Everyone loses their present.
It's all gone. Alyssa's on the line right now from Carabao. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Now, what's your vibe on all of this?
Okay, so it's my son's first birthday today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, happy birthday to him.
And I got a 3-year-old daughter as well.
Yep.
So so you can imagine this morning.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Yes. So, but in saying that, my sister and I always got presents from our grandparents on each other's birthday as, like, a little sneaky side.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
If maybe someone gets elected to give the six-year-old the please don't chuck a tantrum present, but it's only one person.
It's got to be extended family.
And it's not going to be Uncle Ned because they already like you too much for my liking anyway. Region workers. Ned, I had an experience last night that I actually was a bit transformative because I actually stopped and got angry about a thing I used to always get angry at and then I decided to just put in the rearview mirror. I got re-angry at it again.
Right, okay. Not as far in the rearview mirror as you'd like to
think. No, it came back in front of the car, this thing that I'm angry about. It's now in my forward view. It's in the windshield. I'm looking at it.
Ghost or something?
Yeah, it's crazy. do you remember the first time you ever saw a self-serve checkout?
Yeah.
Do you remember what you thought of it when you first saw a self-serve checkout? Yeah. What did you think?
Well, it was a thought. I didn't do it, so I'm allowed to say what I think. Mm. You can't get arrested for thoughts. I was like, oh, so you're allowed to steal now. Cool.
Yeah. That's probably what I thought too, except for the fact that I also added on top of it, because I was very much a full-time working at that point. I added on top of it of like, oh, cool. So like 15 people every time I come to the supermarket are no longer going to be here. Yeah. You don't need these 15 checkout people anymore. Like, that's a bit sad, isn't it? That's a bit weird. And also now, with no discount whatsoever, we're doing that job for you as a company. So like, that's very weird. Like,
I've been hired as an employee here. Mm-hmm. When did they introduce them? Because
earliest one, I was thinking about this extensively last night. The earliest one I can remember seeing was in Central New South Wales in 2009. I can remember my first interaction with one was in 2009.
I think probably 2009 sounds about right, because I will say that it directly corresponded with when I was like, I had a breath of relief when I no longer had to look someone face-to-face when I was buying condoms. I can now do that in secret.
So, and this is basically what I wanted to talk about. There has been a period, what I was calling the bliss period for a while there, of I was enjoying self-serve checkouts.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, they are way quicker if you've only got one or two things. People do just get in and get out and you don't have to wait
any line.
It's nobody is making small talk with anyone. It's just bang, 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 bang. Yeah. And I was like, this is actually really good. But last night, I went back to my old way of looking at them, which is they're robbing people of their jobs.
Yeah.
I hate them. Why are they so terrible?
Yeah.
All this sort of stuff. Because I was at a supermarket that shall remain nameless for legal reasons, and there was a kid there at sort of 6:30, like rush time for dinner, manning like 20 of them. Like 20.
Right.
He was the only person there that any time one of them went, please ask for assistance.
Yeah.
He was the assistant.
He was the man.
And every second one was constantly asking for assistance.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to say now, and this is where the rant starts. I've gone back to my old feelings on self-serve checkouts, that there are now a bunch of people who don't have jobs anymore because of the self-serve checkouts. We're doing that job for free with no discount to the products whatsoever. And this is my only caveat. I would love to go back to enjoying self-serve checkouts. Why has the technology behind them not improved since 2009? How can they not tell when I slightly move something on the scale, melt down, and need someone to come and help me with the scale? How has that not gotten any better in 10, 15 years? 15 years and that's not gotten any better.
Yeah, well, they did. They were made in 2007, so even longer than you
can
thought.
Can you remember what the iPhone looked like in 2009?
Yeah.
And what we've got now.
Yeah.
The thing is a spaceship compared to the one we used to have in 2009, and self-serve checkouts still can't handle me using my own reusable bag.
Yeah.
Has an absolute meltdown.
I think it's because it serves the exact purpose that they always wanted to do, which was save money and that we don't have to hire people.
Yes.
So why would they get something? Because I 100% agree. They essentially invented something and then went, well, that'll do. I guess that's a full day for us. And I am saying to you, why would they get people back in? They've essentially saved money by firing a bunch of people. Why would they get people back in to fix things?
I am very much expecting some Facebook inboxes from somebody who works in the technology field to say these things are being constantly improved.
Mm.
Not enough.
Yeah, not enough.
Not enough.
Actually, I will say when you put vegetables on, they scan them very well. I don't know if you... I mean, that doesn't really apply to you because I know how often you buy vegetables, so...
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit meja.com.au.
Hit 104.7.